You're listening to West Virginia Morning. I'm John Cantese. The West Virginia Supreme Court of Appeals has ruled two candidates running for a spot on the state's highest court can continue using state funding awarded to their campaigns. The decision is the result of two challenges under the state's public campaign financing law, and as Ashton Mara reports, comes less than 7 weeks from Election Day.
This year, candidates running for any judicial office in West Virginia are running in nonpartisan races or without a party affiliation identified on the ballot. These seats are also being decided during the primary election this year, held on May 10th. Both are a first for West Virginia under a statute approved by the Republican-led legislature during the 2015 session. It's another law, though, one that's also fairly new, that will be impacted by the West Virginia Supreme Court decision issued Wednesday afternoon. That decision focuses on the state's public campaign financing program approved by lawmakers before the 2012 election.
The question boils down to, is the Judicial Campaign Finance Act to be liberally construed under a substantial compliance standard that gives the SEC discretion, or is it to be strictly construed such that the slightest procedural misstep leads to immediate disqualification?
That's Spencer Elliott, a Charleston attorney who represented the State Election Commission before the Supreme Court in oral arguments Wednesday. Elliott is essentially saying, yes, there are deadlines in the statute governing the public campaign financing program. And yes, both candidates involved in these cases missed those filing deadlines. But it's the SEC who gets to decide if missing a deadline disqualifies a candidate. Two Kanawha County judges had ruled contrary to that thought.
Circuit courts concluded that there was a violation and that such violation meant immediate disqualification. And this removes the discretion that was specifically granted to the commission that if a violation is found, then they can weigh what are the consequences of that violation. Are we to assess a fine? Are we to completely disqualify or decertify? And so by removing that discretion, I think the circuit court in each instance substituted its judgment for that of the commission.
Those original judgments came from two Kanawha County Circuit Court judges who heard lawsuits filed by Beth Walker, another candidate for the open seat on the state Supreme Court that will be filled by the May election. She challenged the SEC ruling that allowed her fellow candidates, Bill Wooten and current Supreme Court Justice Brent Benjamin, to each receive $500,000 in state monies to fund their campaigns. Walker's attorney, Thomas Ryan of Pittsburgh, argued both Wooten and Benjamin had missed February filing deadlines for the program and therefore should have to return the public funds.
We're here today to really answer just one question, and that is whether or not deadlines in the West Virginia Public Campaign Financing Act matter.
Wooten's attorney, Bob Bastris of Morgantown, argued it was not a case of deadlines. Like Elliott, he agreed the SEC should be allowed to determine the penalties for missing deadlines, but Bastris also took issue with a constitutional argument brought by Walker's attorneys.
The respondent has claimed that the commission's decision overlooks and threatens her constitutional rights to free speech and substantive due process. There is simply no basis for that assertion. When the government decides to fund the speech of one person, it does not implicate the free speech rights of a person who is not funded, as long as that person is free to promote whatever views to whatever extent she wants. The decision to fund Mr. Wooten placed no restraints whatsoever on Mrs. Walker's ability to campaign.
Should the court have ruled that way, Bastris said, it would have been the first time any court in the nation had ruled a public campaign financing program was unconstitutional, opening up judicial challenges in 12 other states. Each of the parties argued their cases before a panel of circuit court judges appointed to replace all five justices who'd recused themselves due to conflicts. During the arguments, the panel often seemed skeptical of Walker's attorney, Ryan. He's questioned first by Fayette County Circuit Judge John Hatcher and then by senior status judge Tom Keedle.
How is Ms. Walker harmed by this? How does it harm her? Because I would imagine that she's been raising thousands, if not tens of thousands of dollars while all this has been going on. So how is she really harmed? Because she's not participating.
She is now running for office with an additional $500,000 entered into a race for a candidate who did not even meet the statutory and the regulatory obligations required under the statute.
What this does is cut off the funding for other candidates for this office by cutting off their public financing.
The apparent skepticism from the panel Wednesday morning was confirmed by two orders issued just hours after arguments concluded. The appointed justices ruled in favor of both Benjamin and Wooten, allowing the campaigns to proceed with the public campaign funds. Final written opinions in the case are pending. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Ashton Mara in Charleston.
In the thick of the primary and caucus season, the two Democratic presidential candidates are still locked in a battle for their party's nomination. At a CNN debate last month in Flint, Michigan, Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders discussed environmental issues facing the nation. For that community, the focus was lead poisoning and drinking water protections. But the candidates also discussed an issue that hits close to home in Appalachia, fracking. The Allegheny Front's Reed Frazier reports.
The question came from a student in Michigan.
Do you support fracking?
Hillary Clinton's answer included a list of conditions that would have to be met in order for her to be okay with hydraulic fracturing.
I don't support it when the release of methane or contamination of water is present.
Also, companies would need to fully disclose the chemicals they used, and there would need to be local approval for any projects.
So by the time we get through all of my conditions, I do not think there will be many places in America where fracking will continue to take place.
These were strong words, especially from Clinton. As Secretary of State, she supported fracking as a way to get the U.S. off of foreign oil and gas and encouraged America's allies to do the same. So what's behind Clinton's tough talk on fracking? Terry Madonna, a pollster at Franklin and Marshall College, said, check the calendar. It's primary season, and Democratic primary voters are much more liberal than voters in the general election.
It's clearly a concerted plan to move to the left to gain the support of those voters, as well as to, you know, go after the support base that Sanders has picked up.
Bringing her closer to where Bernie Sanders stands on the issue.
My answer is a lot shorter. No, I do not support fracking.
But even with the tough talk on fracking, it remains an open question how much either candidate would be able to do to limit fracking if elected. Amy Mall of the environmental group NRDC Action Fund said many of the laws that could be used to further regulate fracking, like the Safe Drinking Water Act, would have to be changed by Congress.
But within current law, there are things that an administration can do to strengthen the rules.
Like further tightening existing rules on air pollution from oil and gas wells and the disposal of solid waste from the oil and gas industry. Also, there's another issue to be considered. Analysts say less fracking could mean more coal, which would be worse for climate change. For the Allegheny Front, I'm Reed Frazier.
Tomorrow on West Virginia Morning, the Allegheny Front's Julie Grant focuses in on the Republican presidential nominees and their stances on fracking, including Ohio Governor John Kasich, who may be slightly out of step with his GOP opponents when it comes to the environment. The Allegheny Front is produced in Pittsburgh and does report on the environment. More information at AlleghenyFront.org. You're listening to West Virginia Morning. It's 7:52. Today there is a red flag warning from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. for eastern West Virginia. High winds and low humidity could cause fires to spread quickly. Today is going to be mostly sunny and breezy with a chance of afternoon rain and thunderstorms in the west. Highs will be in the 70s today.
Support for the weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance, putting service first since 1925. Local agents available at erieinsurance.com. And by Emporium Presents, bringing Old Crow Medicine Show with Parker Millsap to Charleston April 2nd. Tickets at the Civic Center or Ticketmaster.com.
There is a new member on the state's Board of Education. Governor Earl Ray Tomlin announced the appointment of Kaiser native Scott Rotruck early this month. He spoke with Glennis Board about a range of topics, from his educational philosophy to how the plans as a board member to deal with tension between the board and lawmakers.
Well, I have spent a lot of time in Charleston as a lobbyist, which I believe is a very noble profession. I take it very seriously. I have lobbied in the past for coal, oil, natural gas, and most recently for solar, for a company called GeoStellar, in which I have a personal interest. There has been reported in the paper, you know, some differences of opinion on what should be done or how things should be done. But I know just from being at the confirmation committee hearing that I attended and where I was asked questions, I could tell the sincerity of the people that were asking the questions. The same as with people on the board. The same as with people in other parts of the educational system, from the superintendent all down. I've discerned goodwill all the way around. No one of these entities has complete individuated ultimate authority to get the job done. So I think what we have to do, especially once we're a little bit distanced from this political fray, which can be very, very fast and accelerated due to the 60-day term of the regular session, we need to have regular discussions. Now, there are very bright line prohibitions against having any kind of working together that would constitute an unnoticed meeting. So everybody is very conscious about that. Perhaps that needs to be revisited because we have so many things to deal with and so few resources and so few people. Although they're talented, we have to parcel out the work, rely upon them, and then get together to make ultimate decisions. So I think we need to have more consistent, regular conversations between these component parts I've enumerated.
Let me ask you about testing. The state superintendent recently decided that Smarter Balanced is the best test for kids in West Virginia to take, but the legislature just passed a bill saying they have to repeal that test. And do you think that the legislature should be dictating tests to the state board?
I think testing is needed, and we have to have tests that are well aligned with the standards. And on my iPad, I do have a mini library now on issues from Common Core to standards to testing, trying to learn all I can. But I have faith that in this collective of the legislature, the educational system, the Board of Education, the local boards, all of whom I know representatives who are just top notch in their motivation, in their education, to do the best they can, I think we have to have a conversation about this.
So you're replacing Wade Linger, who stirred up some controversy last year when he objected to language outlined in science standards. Now, his objections were pretty nuanced, but basically it boiled down to a debate about how we teach students across West Virginia about climate change. And you're an energy guy, so where do you fall in this debate?
Well, first and foremost, I am an energy guy, as you said, but it's been one where I've been either in external relations, public relations, regulatory affairs, or I've been an investor in the energy space. I'm not a scientist per se. So therefore, I have to add that disclaimer. I think first and foremost, besides giving students a requisite amount of information, things that they, you know, understand and come to internalize by rote memory, I believe we need to teach them how to think. So as much as we can around these difficult issues, where we can find Nobel laureates on both sides of these types of issues, we need to empower the students in every which way, in a cascading up sort of fashion, so that they can make their own decisions about them. Even then, I know that it is tough what to include and what not to include. But I'm all for trying to let people know as much as they can and for empowering them to make their own decisions.
You don't want to add anything to that explanation as far as how you feel one way or the other? Is climate change real? Is it happening? Is it man-made? Is it not man-made?
There's great work going on right now doing deep ice cores. We have so much more ability, just like even 10 years ago when I first got involved in the oil and gas industry, and we talked about what we were able to do at that time with given technology. Quantum leaps. The same thing with looking back through our history and trying to make a decision on what the anthropogenic impact has been in terms of climate change. I believe, for me, for the investor part of me, I want to know what the insurance companies are going to be thinking about going forward. Well, especially when it comes to property that may fall under that discussion or argument about sea level rise. What kind of bets are those insurance companies going to be making? You will see people begin to direct their resources towards what they believe are going to be the results. But just if you look around, it appears pretty clearly we are having changes in our climate. Look at the evidence. It would appear to me to warrant inspection.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with all of the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Our director is Teresa Wills, and I'm John Cantese. Have a good morning.